you know, evil dogs with licking crumbs off the floor.
Yes.
Because you're the Messiah of Israel. I'm recognizing you're the Messiah.
You know why she said that?
Yeah.
Do you know why? It wasn't because she wasn't offended. Because at that time, her priority was her daughter. She would be willing to do anything. Trust me, she would be willing to lick the feet of Jesus Christ if she had to.
But listen, I'll
let you finish. She would be willing to even lick the feet of Jesus Christ if it meant that he will cure her daughter on that basis. So you see, she has put everything aside. Everything else is insignificant in front of the cure of her daughter. Imagine you were in the A&E and you were profusely bleeding. Yes? Do you care how the doctors treat you, whether they slap you one or not? But eventually you know that they are the only ones who can save your life at that time. Would you not be willing to do anything that they told you at that time? Yes, you would. You would also lower yourself and basically let go of your self-esteem. Because that is exactly what the woman said. In fact, she's the one who instills this in him, saying that even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall of the master's table. So she's willing to become a dog. If it meant that will cure her daughter.
Okay. Now she was recognizing she's the Messiah. Oh, okay. That's fine.
That's the whole reason she came to him in the first place.
But did the Messiah reject her?
Initially he did, yes.
But did he show mercy upon her?
No. Initially,
was there a persistent faith?
Initially he did reject her. In fact, on three occasions he rejected her.
She was the first Gentile to come in.
Well, we don't know that. One of the references to the Gentile in the Bible, how they're treated. Yeah. And there's other references. Like if you look at the Lord's Prayer, he actually references...
But that's a transition from the house of Israel to the rest of the world.
This is Jesus. Remember, he knows the future. He knows everything. Why would he want to treat this woman like that?
It could have been like Islam, but it's just for the Islam. Anybody else not Islam, I'm going to kill them.
Who said that?
That's been referenced in a lot of media.
No. I don't care about what the media says.
Okay.
When I take your faith, when I inspect your faith, I look at your Bible. Why don't you do the same with my faith and look at the Quran and the Hadith? Yes, don't go by what the media says, what Fox News says or what someone else says.
No, I'm quite open to a lot of sources.
Good,
yeah?
Alhamdulillah, thanks. So let's stick to the scriptures, because the scriptures are the ones who tell you what to do and what not to do. If the scriptures clearly in that particular passage is saying that the Gentiles are dogs, yes, and this is Jesus himself saying, it's not any Tom, Dick or Harry saying this. Jesus is using these derogatory, racist, insulting words. And to me, that is an offense. The reason for that is because this is my messenger, my prophet, and my Messiah too. And the way he's been portrayed in the Bible is completely and utterly false. And that's the reason, one of the reasons,
it's very harsh.
I do not take what the Bible says as factual. Because there are many things in the Bible which completely ignore what God is. For example, God doesn't die. But according to your Bible, Jesus is God and then he died. God doesn't become ignorant. But according to Mark 13:32, Jesus didn't know the hour. If he's God, how can he be ignorant of what when he's going to come back, the second coming? These things are completely against the nature of God.
Why?
Because God is not ignorant. God is not a mortal. God is not ignorant. Jesus is both of those. So Jesus cannot be God just on those basis.
Okay. But the Father sent him in his place to do a specific job. Okay, now he's ascending on the right hand side of the Father until all his enemies are subjected unto his feet as his messenger. Then once that is done, then Jesus is going to give the whole creation back to the Father.
Why? If he's God, why does he give it back to the Father?
But God says, look, I'm giving all authority until my enemies be subject unto him. Because he's the one that can come to earth. I cannot. He's coming in my place.
Why he cannot?
Because he's too holy. He can't have the presence of sin in his presence. Sorry.
Let me ask you something. If you wanted to save someone, would you send your son? Or would you save them?
If I couldn't get there.
Why would he not get there? You and your son are always together. Mm-hmm. Yes? Why could he not get there? If the son can, why can't you? In fact, you would be more in a position to get there than your son if you guys are all the time together. Do you understand what I mean? So Jesus was sent here, not as a God. Jesus was never God in the first place. He was sent, just like all the other messengers and prophets were sent by God to do the purpose and the will of God Almighty, which you call the Father. Yes? So was Jesus. Remember, Jesus says, I've not come to do my will, but to do the will of the one who sent me. Yes, very clearly. So Jesus at no point in the Bible explicitly states that he's God. He always said he does the will of the Father. So before he came to earth, yes, he said, I've not come by my will. So even before he came to the earth, it wasn't his will which brought him here. It was the will of whom?
Father.
Yes, his God. It was his God who told him to come here. Remember, he says, I go to my Father and your Father, my God and your God, John 20:17. So this is Jesus, is God telling him what to do. Okay. And Jesus is obeying him. Throughout the Bible, you see this particular theme, that Jesus is always obeying God, always worshiping God. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he puts his forehead on the ground and he prays to God and he begs God to save him from the crucifixion by his will, not by the will of the Father and not by his own will. That is a clear indication showing you that he's worshiping
the Holy Spirit. Even the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and gave birth, helped give birth. Did you believe the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and inseminated her and Jesus was born?
Yeah, we believe in the virgin birth, if that's what it means.
So there's Holy Spirit and Allah.
No, Holy Spirit is an angel. It's not Allah.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit is not God. Do you know in the Bible, according to John 14 and John 16, the Holy Spirit cannot even say anything unless God tells him what to say and when to say it. He will not speak of his own. As he hears, he will tell the people what to...
So Jesus, yeah?
Yes, and that was also the Holy Spirit in John 14.
So a message, an angel...
How can God not speak of his own? Think about it.
Well, in that scene, there was the Holy Spirit, Jesus being conceived, and an angel behind him.
No, look, we believe in the virgin birth. We have no issues with that. But if you're trying to imply that the Holy Spirit is the one who made Mary pregnant, is that what you're trying to imply?
With the authority of God, yeah?
Yes, of course, with the authority of God.
This is where we get our Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three different entities, but doing the same job.
Wait. It's not the same. Because the Father cannot and will not die. The Son...
He didn't have it. His Son was in heaven. So his Son was born in the likeness of man, okay, to come and do the job he was sent for, to save the whole world and the mankind.
So if I ask you the question...
There was a new covenant that was prophesied in Genesis all the way through...
Shall I tell you why not? Because if you're trying to tell me that Jesus died for your sins, then you need to acknowledge that Jesus is immortal.
He came and in the likeness of mortal man. Yes.
But God says that he's immortal. So we got two different natures. One is saying he's immortal, the other is saying I'm immortal. It's not about the roles, it's about the nature. You know, immortality and omniscience, these are the natures of God. It's not his role. This is something that has been with him since eternity. It's not like he distributes the roles of immortality and knowledge to each within the Trinity.
Well, if he's come down in the likeness of man, in the image of man, and the human feelings, emotions,
then he's immortal.
Pride, he,
then he's immortal.
But then he paid that price on the cross in agony and pain.
Doesn't matter. He's
and
immortal.
He died and he resurrected. He said to Mary, "Do not touch me. We are ascended. I'm pure. I'm holy. Yeah. I'm sanctified. I'm separate. My flesh is gone. I'm the pure God form now."
And he never said he's God. That's the thing. You see, the point you're not understanding is this: that God, by his nature, is different from Jesus. Even if you're saying Jesus took on humanity, as soon as he took on humanity, he is no more all-powerful God. And that is the reason. Do you believe God can die by his own creation? Can God die by his own creation?
No.
But Jesus did.
Yeah? In the flesh.
What does that tell you? Of course, in the flesh.
So when he was resurrected, what was he then?
When he was resurrected, the humanity stays with him. The human body stays with him. Are you aware of that? Go and read up on the Chalcedonian Creed. Yes? The human nature and the divine nature, which the Christians call the hypostatic union.
Human nature is corrupted.
No. Jesus' human nature is going to be with him for eternity, post-incarnation.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, yeah, I can see that in the glorified body, yeah.
So if he was going to be keeping the human nature with him all through eternity, then you need to understand and answer this question. Is the human nature part of the Trinity? Because the second person of Trinity...
Well, to explain that, you'd have to go back to the Garden Eden. Was Adam and Eve, what were they like?
No, we are talking post-incarnation, remember. We are talking post-incarnation.
Post-incarnation, we're all going to have our glorified bodies.
Not all, I'm talking about God here. Listen carefully.
Okay.
Is the second person...
Well, the angels, they came to earth as human flesh.
I'm not talking about that, I'm talking about Jesus here. I'm not talking about Adam, I'm not talking about the angels. I'm talking about Jesus. Yeah. Jesus, according to you... God, there's so much shouting here. Maybe you should move here a bit. But anyway, what I'm saying is that Jesus, post-incarnation, is always going to retain the human nature and the divine nature in one.
Okay, I'll accept that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That means the second person of Trinity will always have the human and divine nature in him.
Yeah.
Is the second person of Trinity part of the Trinity?
Yes.
That means the Trinity consists of also human nature now.
Okay, yes.
Yes?
Yeah. glorified human nature.
There you go. That itself shows you that the pure divinity of God, even if you take him as a trinity, has now been corrupted with the human nature. Because human nature is not perfect.
No, but after the resurrection, it is.
Stop.
It is. It is. But God the Holy Father cannot allow sin back into heaven. Because Satan was kicked out because of that. Satan was kicked out because of sin.
Guys, we are just going to move there because of all that.
Anyway, I'm going to go. Wasn't it, mate? I'm Greg.
Greg, one last question. Are you willing to look into the Quran just as I was willing to look into the Bible?
Yes, I am, yes.
If I give you a copy of the Quran, will you read it?
I'm not saying I will, but if you give me areas to read, I will.
No, I'll give it to you, free.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Only if you are sincere enough and willing to read it.
I will study it, yes.
Good, very good, man. Thank you very much. You got a copy of the Quran?
Yeah.
But the same thing, if I see you again, then my questions...
Sure, okay. I'm more than willing to entertain your questions. No problem.
Okay.
Are you local? Are you from London?
Yeah.
Oh, then you can come back here. There's a copy for you.
Okay.
A present for you.
I will read it and do some
research. And if you got any questions,
I will
please
see you
do.
Again. And your name is?
My name is Hashim.
Hashim. Please meet you.
Greg, was it?
Greg, yeah.